The commercial fishing boat Hera is a dragger from New Bedford. Its nets trail behind it for thousands of yards, scraping the seafloor for haddock, cod, monkfish, and the like. In the early hours of December 15, 2016, the weather had turned against its small crew. It was time to pull the nets in. One of the first fishermen to sort through the catch was Aries Oliveira.
Peeking the pile, peeking the pile, peeking the pile.
Aries speaks in threes for emphasis. He's a skinny man with a helmet of gray and black hair. 33 years of fishing have made his hands one size too big for his slight frame. He's a little hard to make out in this recording, so I'll be translating for him.
And when you drop the bag, a lot of fish.
When the nets hit the deck, he saw fish, crabs, and garbage, the usual. Then he noticed something strange in the sunlight.
I saw a leg.
Aries saw a human leg in a pile of fish, the right leg with a sock on it. So he calls his buddy over.
First I thought it was like a mannequin and all that stuff. I didn't see the head, nothing. I thought, okay, it's buried in the pile.
That's Carlos Amarin, first mate of the Hera. That leg, it had a body attached to it.
So start looking with my fish pick. He had a belt on, and after I noticed he had a tag on his ankle. So as soon as I opened him up, I saw the spine bones. I said, it is a body.
They covered the body with a big blue tarp, the kind you might rake leaves on in the fall. The captain reported their location and headed to the nearest port. While the Hera was headed in, the case was referred to the state police. After handing the body over to the authorities, the crew washed the deck, threw out the contaminated fish, and went right back out fishing. For Manuel Magalhães, the captain of the Hera, the mystery of this body lingered.
3 weeks or 4 weeks before, there was three Portuguese fishermen that have been gone missing in the Cape Cod Bay. So I'm like, immediately thought, oh my God, that's probably one of those kids, you know? And then I'm thinking, well, at least we'll give closure to a family member, you know, to the family.
Manuel tells me how dangerous fishing can be, how he's been lucky never to lose any of his own crew. The sea is littered with lost fishermen, he says. And the worst part of losing someone at sea is the uncertainty. 11 days later, the state finished its investigation. The body was not one of those lost fishermen Manuel talked about. It belonged to the late Robert Carnevale, a doctor from Providence, and he was placed in the Atlantic on purpose by this guy.
Captain Brad White, a founder of New England Burials at Sea, based in Marshfield, Massachusetts.
He started the business in 2006 by scattering ashes at sea.
And now we're the go-to company with over 180 different domain names, being East Coast Burials at Sea, West Coast.
He added full body burials 5 years later. Brad is a dedicated entrepreneur. He sees opportunities everyone else misses.
I hate to say this, but it started after Bin Laden, the bad guy, got buried at sea. Our phones rang off the hook.
So did you start offering it when Osama died, or
after?
Okay.
After, because we got so many phone calls. And then I said, well, we don't know how to do it. So I went to the Boston Public Library. I studied it going back 200 years. I said, let's just replicate what they did. Let's gussy it up, polish it up, make it look great, make it feel great, and let's bring it to today's technology.
Just like fishing, the tradition of sea burial that Brad gussied up is an old one. Vikings did it by laying bodies on small boats and using flaming arrows to light them on fire. Ancient Egyptians put their dead on rafts and pushed them out to sea. But Brad takes his cues from the way it's done in the United States Navy. The body is placed in a cloth bag. Then he has the family put cannonballs at the bottom of the bag. This anchors it to the seafloor. Before the body is deployed overboard, he fires a cannon off in honor of the deceased. He rings a bell 8 times to symbolize the last watch. Finally, he sprinkles rose petals into the ocean as they head back to shore.
So when a family comes to one of our vessels, we're ready to go, and it's showtime.
So do you think of it like a show?
I think of it as pulling it together, all the details, as if it's an orchestration.
It's the kind of orchestration that suited the Carnevale family well. His daughter, Carrie, was interviewed shortly after the burial in the Mercury, a Rhode Island newspaper. For the family, it was more about the unorthodoxy of it all than a deep connection to the sea. She said of her dad, he got seasick. He disliked the beach, but he knew that we all loved the ocean. If there's one thing Brad relies on, it's that his burials stay at the bottom of the sea. That's in direct conflict with a fishing industry that thrives on dragging up what lies below. both operations questioned each other's practices.
Was it done properly? Was it done in the correct area? And also, was this a good fisherman or a fisherman fishing in the wrong area?
Here's Manuel, captain of the Hera again.
They should make sure that wherever they do those types of service, it's an area that they're sure, absolutely sure, there's not going to be any fishing activity.
This question of where the Hera was and when it was there is hard to answer. All sea burials need to be at least 3 miles offshore and in waters that are at least 600 feet deep. As far as the investigation is concerned, nothing improper was done on either side. Most likely, the ocean itself is to blame. The current, I'm told, can move entire shipwrecks, so what chance does one body weighed down with a couple of cannonballs stand? The family of Robert Carnevale didn't want to comment on this story. They'd rather put this to rest, and perhaps just remember the man they wrote about in his obituary. Dr. Carnevale was a cardiologist, a teacher, a storyteller, grandfather, brother, son, and friend. Not long after the state police closed the case, the Carnevale family picked up their dad's remains for a second time. He was cremated and scattered. This time, no nets or currents would bring him back. In New Bedford, Massachusetts, I'm Andy Short.